Chapter 6. A herd of long-horned bison blanketed the distant hills. From where Davin surveyed them from astride saddle, the massive beasts appeared peaceful and unthreatening. But he knew that the slightest provocation, such as the thunderous clouds rumbling behind them, could send the destructive herd into a chaotic, ground-churning stampede. Deaths at the hooves of the migrating herds of bison and mammoth were reported every spring and autumn in the papers, and when poor weather threatened, the swelling obituaries doubled the pages of the weekly news. Travelling during migration was an idiotic business, another reason he disdained the Tabor's seasonal invitations. Davin eyed the sky and the herd again, wondering where to set up his ruse. Under no circumstances did he wish to suffer the shame of actually dying during his attempt to appear to have done so. While he doubted anyone would be the wiser for the few terrifying seconds it would take for the bison to grind his bones to powder, he would suffer under the onus of his own stupidity. As luck would have it, the storm was driving directly south towards his position, and when the booming thunder and flickering lightning got close enough, the herd would at least move in his direction, if not bolt in a panicked frenzy. Tonight his plan would require him to sacrifice one final beloved item, his horse. After a wistful pat on Cyril's withers, he hopped down, undid the saddlebags and tack, and created the scene of his fake demise next to a broad oak, directly in the predicted path of the herd. He did everything as he normally would when in the wild. He created a fire ring, lit a fire, set up his canvas tent, and hung his equipment over a branch. The next part, however, was a little more ridiculous and unsavoury. His plan depended on someone believing that a man had been killed, but to the point of being unrecognizable. To this end he had killed a deer and slung it over his horse. Removing the freshly skinned carcass and pulling an extra pair of travelling clothes from his bags, he set about gutting the beast and scattering copious amounts of its blood and entrails on the clothes. He placed the befouled clothing and the carcass in the tent, knocked the tent down so the bison wouldn't avoid it, and led Cyril away toward the dim forest nearby to wait. His rifle he kept for the moment. The nearby woods were an excellent place for predators to lie in wait to attack the herd, and he didn't want another repeat of his hunting disaster. The wounds, though much improved, still ached and itched, and he had to catch himself to keep from scratching at them. Once safely into the dark of the forest, he tied Cyril to a branch and slumped down to wait. He hoped the whole business would be over before dark, so he could further groom the scene. Nothing out of place could remain. He would have to remove all the recognizable animal bits and place a few props to ensure that his identity as the supposed victim was unmistakable.
Hiya!
The voice of a wagon driver echoed into the woods a few moments before the pounding of hoofbeats and the creak of wagon wheels. Davin edged toward the road until he had a good view, wondering who was risking the weather and the herds besides himself. In a few more moments, a single empty wagon whirled by in a rush, driver hunched over and flogging the horses for everything they were worth. A faded sign was painted on the wooden slats, Boot and Wheel Caravan Company. So they did come as far north as Tabor. Idly, Davin wondered if the wagon would turn north and actually head toward Frostbourne, though the lack of cargo made him doubt it. Clearly, this driver had finished his task and knew he had to get as far from the herd as possible before disaster struck. Sure enough, at the fork in the road, the wagon turned southeast and was gone. After plucking some long grass from the edge of the wood, Davin headed back to where Cyril stood by the tree and fed him the tender plants. If the Boot and Wheel Caravan would come as far north as Tabor, why wouldn't they take the extra day or two to come to Frostbourne? Though, Davin noted with some self-satisfaction, Frostbourne took care of its own poor and needy. No charity from the Aid Society was necessary. A flash of lightning and a pounding boom ripped through the sky as large drops of rain pattered against the leaves around him, slowly at first. Enough of the thick canopy of the forest had resisted the call of autumn that Davin figured he would have a few minutes of dryness left once the heady, swollen clouds burst. With another crack and rumble, the rain pelted down and thunder shook the ground. The herd was on the move. Davin stood up and kept his eyes sharp. While most of the bison would avoid his sylvan refuge, some few of the beasts might turn inside the forest. The shaking of the ground and the deafening noise amplified, Cyril snorting nervously. Devon's heart quickened, the reverberation and racket of the stampeding animals louder than anything he'd ever heard. Through the slits in the trees, he saw the first of the runners bolting by, urged onward by the vociferous sky. In moments, a solid wall of brown slashed across his vision, rattling the forest. Cyril reared back and screamed, snapping the branch Devon had tied him to. Devon reached out to grab him, but Cyril bolted away, galloping south with the herd.
"Goodbye, old friend."
An ache within him swelled with the noise. With Cyril's departure, all ties to his former life seemed severed. The rain finally defeated the protection of the foliage and dripped down on him as the bison continued their frenzied run. The herd rumbled by for nearly half an hour before they thinned enough for Devon to risk approaching the campsite to see how his little experiment had fared. Pocked and uneven, the road he had followed to get there and the field where he had set up his camp were a sloppy, soupy mess sucking at his boots. Bison droppings and spoor littered the ground. Several of the weaker bison had fallen on the field while others milled about in the slackening rain. As he had hoped, the stampede had obliterated his campsite. A single stake had kept the tent near to where he had set it, but everything else had moved southward. The carcass in the tent was pounded and broken, bone and flesh mushy and pulped. Still, he had work to do. Quickly he stripped away the bits and pieces that were most obviously not human, a dirty, disgusting task. These he hauled away into the forest for the scavengers to pick at. Next he took his ring from his finger and placed it conspicuously in the wreck. He would place the rifle in the mix after he had survived the night. Once done, he moved a mile away to distance himself from the scavengers that would no doubt be attracted to his bloody mess and the dying bison. If a few dire wolves or saber cats picked at his fictitious remains, the ruse would be complete. He would walk to Chopsworth the next day. Few recognized him there, and if he arrived after nightfall, he could leave word of the scene with the under-sheriff, buy a horse and a gun, and make his way east with little fear of being marked. After an hour, the storm moved off for good, grumbling in the southern sky. In the daylight which remained, Devon constructed a crude lean-to and searched for wood dry enough to burn so he could warm himself. A lingering sadness hung over him, but something else was dawning. Hope in the prospect of a new life. Baron Devon Carver was dead. Nothing could fetter him now. It was just like when his parents had died. He was alone with nothing but his wits and abilities to make the best of a dismal situation. He wouldn't survive in the wild during the winter, and he would need to earn money when what he had ran out. There was no place better to find anonymity and work than in Belshire, the biggest city in Bittermarch. By the time he arrived in Belshire a week later, nature's first weak attempts at winter had turned the outer streets into a dingy, viscous mixture of slush and mud. The air had not turned cold enough for the snow to persist much beyond noonday, save where it clung in shadowy recesses and on north-facing roofs. The allotment of money he had allowed himself was nearly gone. He would, for the first time in his life, have to take active employment. This thought cost him no pride. In his younger years he had worked as hard and in as much filth as any common labourer while he scrimped and saved to rescue his family estate from his father's foolishness. Of course, if he could avoid mucking out stables or scouring chimneys, he would. Ideally, he wanted to work as a caravan guard, as it would have him out of doors and travelling. But the demand for guards died in the winter season, along with people's desire to travel. After checking the job postings on windows and in the papers, he realized he had a more serious problem, no real experience or references. Any comfortable job with decent pay demanded references, and he hadn't even decided what to call himself yet. Missing the powerful Cyril, he steered his rather average quarter horse toward less savoury parts of town. Even convicts of the darkest hue could find employment amid the narrow streets and darkly streaked brick buildings. As poorly dressed as he was, his clothes were a cut or two above the average denizen of the Crooks, a place he had heard of but never beheld during his few previous visits to Belshire. Whatever his clothing, he was sure he appeared down on his luck, though his sombre demeanour and the rifle slung to his horse kept the riffraff at a distance. At last he found some postings attached to the glass window of one Iron Hand Tavern. Its relative lack of stains and filth suggested it was an establishment someone actually cared about. After skimming the usual round of advertisements for chambermaids, gutter sweeps and farmhands, he ran across one that piqued his interest. Immediate need for a clerk. Boot and Wheel Caravan Company. Must be able to start immediately. Salary. 60 hours a week. Contact Corrick Masterson directly at the office. Davin smirked and rubbed his chin. The Boot and Wheel Caravan Company. That name kept popping up. Maybe he had dismissed the reports of their phantom shipments to Frostbourne a little too hastily. Who else might they be defrauding? The Queen herself? Had the Eternal Flame led him to this very spot, some place he might still do some good for Queen and country, despite his self-imposed poor circumstances? While not formally trained as a clerk, he had learned the trade after his father had killed himself. He had kept his own books for nearly 6 years before he had the means to employ a steward to do it for him. He might not have the familiarity with all the legal and financial documents that a caravan company might use, but he doubted it would be too difficult to muddle his way through. Clerking was certainly preferable to anything else he had run across thus far. After warming his blood with an ale and then inquiring about the location of the Boot and Wheel Caravan Company, Davin mounted his horse and headed to the Morton district. Unlike the Crooks, the Morton district was composed of wide streets with large, utilitarian buildings. There were few windows and very little in the way of architecture or greenery to cheer anyone. Rough-looking men milled about big warehouses or wandered the streets on unknown errands. No one spared Davin a glance. He found the offices of the company in question in short order, the sign a worn, simple affair with dark letters on a white board. The small brick building sat next to a much larger one made of wood and plaster. A single, thin window next to an unadorned door was all the decoration afforded the ascetic edifice. Davin roped his horse to the rail and made his way inside, through the heavy, squeaking door. Everything here seemed lifeless and downtrodden. Did he really want to spend 60 hours a week in such a gloomy place? Just until the summer, he reassured himself, then I'll apply for something else. The front room to the office was quiet and empty, with a single desk littered with papers. Small stacks of books lay on the ground, and rectangles of less dingy hue than the rest of the walls indicated that pictures once hung there. It felt as if the place was being abandoned, save for a faint whiff of liquor on the air. He called out to no avail. Perhaps the job posting was old, and the business had failed. Time to start over. He turned to go and noticed a paper stuck to the door with a crudely drawn portrait of a young man. Missing, Samuel Biggs, clerk for the Boot and Wheel Caravan Company, last seen leaving work on September 15th. If you have information, please contact investigator Miles Purvis at 45 Parkhale Street. That explains the opening. Davin mused as he yanked the door open, finding himself face to face with a ponytailed man in a long leather coat. He had hard eyes and an unpleasant demeanour, and grimaced for a moment, staring at Davin as if trying to determine if this were a customer or a thief. The horse at the rail seemed to sway him to the former.
"What did you come for? Need something hauled, do you?" the man asked.
"Well, no," Davin replied. "I've come about..."
"Then off with you!"
The man shoved his way past Davin and into the office.
"Got no time for freeloaders or solicitors."
"I've come about the job posting, sir." The man threw himself down in a beat-up chair behind the desk and pulled a pecan from his coat, snapping it open with a practiced bite of his teeth. Several moments passed as the man regarded him, savouring his treat.
"Don't look like a clerk to me," he finally said. "Look more like a caravan rider. What's your name?"
Davin opened his mouth and snapped it shut. What was his name? What was his history, for that matter? The man regarded him suspiciously while Davin's mind spun.
"Well, sir," he said, working quickly to dispel the awkward moment, "I am David Harper, and I rode into Belshire just over an hour ago, so my clothing is more for travelling than for clerking, you understand. I am in need of work and saw your posting. I came immediately, fearing the position might already be filled. I can return later, more appropriately attired, if you wish."
"You've got a fancy tongue in your head," he observed.
"Where have you worked before?"
Time for the big lies to start. "My father was a steward for a small estate. The master of the house allowed me to work under him in a clerkship capacity. I did this for 6 years.
My father passed away recently, and I was not offered the opportunity to replace him as steward, so I travelled here to find work. The man barely reacted, pulling another pecan from his pocket and snapping it open.
So you've never worked in commerce before?
No, sir.
And do you know anything about what we do here, at the Boot and Wheel Caravan Company?
Standard shipping, I would assume.
As I said, I just...
Yes or no will do, he corrected, taking a swig from a flask he kept stowed in his coat. David knew this wasn't going well, but the fierce-looking man kept his eyes on him, sizing him up.
And what kind of salary do you expect?
David really had no idea. I thought £40 a year, would... The man choked and then started laughing.
So you show up here, like, looking like a filthy beggar without a clue and barely any experience, and want £40?
Maybe the eternal flame hadn't directed him here after all. Sorry, sir. I have clearly made a mistake coming here. Good day. He turned toward the door, but the man held him up.
Now hold a moment there, fellow, he said. I'll tell you what. I know a hard case when I see one. I'll make you a deal. I'll pay you 30. But you have to understand that this may be temporary. You see, Samuel there was well liked here and just up and disappeared one night. If he returns, we'll likely kick you out.
Davin was shocked.
I... Thank you, Mr. Masterson. Couric.
Thank you, Mr. Masterson. When should I start?
Why, right now.
Got behind something awful since Samuel disappeared. Is there anywhere to stable my horse? Couric guffawed.
This ain't no estate, Mr. Harper. Sell it.
I'm guessing you'll need the money to pay rent, and no, I won't give you an advance. Davin walked toward the door. I'll sell him and return forthwith. He extended his hand to Couric, who stared at it.
Well, hurry up. I ain't paying you to sell horses.
Davin nodded and made a quick exit. Something, indeed, did not smell right about the Boot and Wheel Caravan Company, and not just the liquor-soaked Mr. Masterson. Davin pulled himself up on his soon-to-be ex-horse. He had work to do, and some delicate inquiries to make.